Praise the Lord, good evening. Let's open our Bible to the book of the Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 25. The title of the message is, Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That will be part two. How many of you fear God? How many of you fear man? I believe all of you. All of us. And we need to repent. We need to say the truth. Proverbs 29 verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Let's all pray. Lord, thank you for your word to us. We thank and we bless you, magnify. We come before you in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we do pray, O God, that your word will bring the conviction in the heart of your church and your people. Oh Lord, I pray, change our heart and mind. Convict us with the sin that we are doing. When we are hiding and doing our own, but we are forgetting that you are watching us. Oh Lord, forgive the sin of lack of fear of yours in the name of Jesus. I pray, let this word of yours will be a warning, let be a last warning before your discipline, before your correction will come upon your church and your people. I pray you anoint my lips and let your word, oh God, flow from your throne to us to help us to understand. Speak to us. I pray you speak to each and every one. You know the hidden agenda and hidden part of our, of each and every one of us, life, men, women, children, young and adult or old age. I pray even you know the heart of the people who this message will reach them. I pray you speak to them, O God. Melt their heart before you to repent, O God. Show them, O God. Prove, O God, your word to them. We thank you, God. We bless you and before you. We adore you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Say here, the one who put his trust in the Lord will be saved. We're always having fear. Having fear from future, having fear from people, having fear from authorities. And we want always to play safe. When no one is watching, we are tigers. But we forget the King of Kings, the Lord Almighty, is watching over us. We do all what we can to please people. But what he say here, we do all what we can to make people happy with us. Because we are afraid of them. Because we think that our life will depend on them. If they will do certain actions, then how we can live, how we can go along in our life. But what he say here? He said, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know snare? That you are caught. Caught because of sin, bondage, slavery. When you fear man, you will not get freedom, you will get dictation. They dictate on you what you need to do. But let us trust in the word of God. You want to make people happy with you? You will never win people. Make God happy with you. And God, he can change the people. Listen to this. God can, you know, get the He can close the mouth of the lions. Yeah. God can do miracles to save you and to take you out from all troubles. Daniel was taken out from the dens of lions, was saved because he believed in his God. He trusted fully in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, to fear God and to trust Him, it means that you obey His word and His commands. Rely on the word of God and what God say. I am deciding to do this based on what God say, and I trust God that He will protect me. But if I disobey the command of God, there is no protection. The commands of the Lord, when we don't do it correctly, then there is no protection and no blessing, and we find ourselves not full of the blessing, full of sneers. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 5 and 6. Men, they are afraid of their wives. Wives are afraid from their husband. We are afraid from people, from bosses, from people who are really powerful, but we don't afraid from, we don't fear of God, we don't have fear of God. That's why troubles continue. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6 say, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There's here, in verse 5, we speak about covetousness, about money, about material things that we need in our life. And based on these material things, we build our relationship. Make a friendship, yeah. Especially with the rich people, the people can help you, yeah? Loss and covetousness. You are not content with what you have, your salary, what God is giving you. So you go with the people because you think that God will leave you. But He say, He will neither leave you nor forsake you. And in verse 6, when He say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear, I won't be afraid of man, or I will not be afraid from the future. I will not be afraid from any threat. As long as I know I am standing on the word of God, what God has said, with the Holy Spirit that I hear and convinced with, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 20. Certain time you do wrong things just to please certain people. Is that correct or no? Because if they are angry with you, you cannot manage. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 20. Say, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So here, if we really trust in God, and then we'll have joy and happiness. But when we, but the opposite, when we afraid from people, what will happen? We start to break our trust in God. Instead of getting happiness, we get what we spoke about, we get sneers. Sneer cause sadness and the troubles. But as we trust in God, and as we go through His scripture and His word and obey Him, what He say here in the first part, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. How we can handle life and matter and problem wisely? Based on what the word of God tells us. Based on the ways that God ordained for us. You know, in the book of Genesis, God commanded the man in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. If people fear God, you will not find sin on world, in the world. Even if there is pride, there is arrogance, whatever their attitude, if they fear God, at the time that the sin will come, they will stop. But when they don't fear God, it is fine for them to sin, you know, because once they see there is no people watching, they will do it. But those who fear God, even they are pressurized, even they are poor, they will not do. Because they can see Him, He is watching them. If there are people who fear God, they will not do wrong. Even they are forced to do it, they will not. They will not yield to the devil. They will not yield to those who are used by devil to pressurize them. Book of Genesis chapter 2. Think about what you are hearing. How many times you fear man and you do wrong? And you put yourself in a trap. And sneer. Genesis chapter 2 verse 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. It's a very simple command. He told him, you can eat from all the tree, the fruit of the tree. Only except the tree of the fruit of the tree of the, he gave him the name, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And we know the story that he, the man, and his wife, they eat from that tree. And you know that the consequence of this, they found themselves naked and they were taken out from the Garden of Eden. I believe there is a question in your mind. For such a small sin, right? It's a small or big sin. You know, it is a simple sin. Simple mistake. God makes them suffer. Until this day, we are suffering because of that. Because of that sin. But let us read Genesis chapter 3. So we can understand why the Lord needed to do that. What the man and the woman did. Is it because they ate the fruit? Or there is another reason? Let us read the scriptures. This is chapter 3. Notice from verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? The serpent, the devil, want to check what is inside the woman. He want to see her stand. You know, he give her some quiz, puzzle, crossroad. Is really God say don't eat from anything? She answered, and the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She told him that we may eat from the tree of the garden. We can eat all. No, that's not correct. We can eat everything. Basically, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall he touch it, lest he die. She told him, but the tree in the middle of the garden, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she knows it, she described it well. She said that God said, you shall not eat of it, that's correct. But she added something else, you shall not also touch it. And you know, that is, when you think about it, all that she says is correct, except one statement, that God said, you should not touch, but God didn't say it. Have you got the point here? So, we know that God spoke his command to the man, to Adam. The woman sure had heard from her husband that you should not eat from it. Now, how she had to it, you should not touch it. Have it come to your mind, this one? She had to it, right? You know, there are certain people that have their own understanding. And we can call them, they have their own mindset and their own conviction. But if that is not in the scriptures, you know, when David meets such kind of people, when they speak certain good opinions, but not in the scriptures, they are very good ground for the devil to work on their minds. If your boss tell you should not sit on this chair, and you ask what your boss says, my boss says you should not sit on this chair and you should not touch that chair. You are adding, right? Why do you want to add? Why the woman add? Is she more smart than God? That's what she wants. You know when devil hear it? Oh. She is now, she has her own mind. It means that she cannot accept fully what God has said. She had to ask. And what he answered her. Or maybe she wants to be more smart than her husband. Because she changed the scriptures. Is the church today changing the scriptures? Adding on the scriptures? Putting things not in the scriptures? From the world? Now when we read this the first time, it looks good. But it's not written in the Word of God that you should not touch. The tree. She added. In verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. Have you got the one here? When he hears her, she say that, God said, don't touch it, he told her that, you shall not die. He know what is inside her now? It is not the truth. And this, you know, what I understand is, what the woman had said is her defensive mechanism to the command of God that came to her through her husband. Let's continue. Verse 5. For God does know. Now here the devil starts to play on her mind, because she is already willing to listen, and she already not willing to follow exactly what God has said. Devil find on her a good place to plant evil, so he can destroy the family. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's all hard, because God does not want you to eat. And when you eat, because you will be like him, and you will know everything. So she got it also. You know why she got it? Because when she say, God say, don't touch it, and God did not say, they will say, okay, I will add to you more. You get it from me. That's when we don't fear God. We do our own ways in life. And we go through the argument of devil. Because. In verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasing to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The woman, when she heard what the devil say, oh wow, 1, 2, 3. And when she saw it, and she reasoned with her mind, that will make me wise, she took and ate it, and she gave to her husband. And the husband also ate it. With the husband, let me ask a question. Do the husband know that he should not eat it or no? Huh? Was the devil speaking to him also? Was the devil speaking to him? It's not written, right? Why he ate it? Why he ate it? He know wrong, right? Let me ask a question. If your boss give you fruit, apple, you will eat it or no? Huh? Why you will eat it? If your boss, you will make him happy, right? If you will not eat, but you will not eat it, how much you will understand? The fear of man brings snares. But blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. I'm just giving a clue about Adam, why he ate the fruit. Let's continue. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. When they sinned, the protection of God, the cover of God, was taken away. You see here, God has given to the man a perfect setup, perfect rule to follow for protection. He violated the command of God. And now, coming the consequence of that, sin, nakedness. And we get the point here, sometimes we say only small mistake. How about when you go traveling in the airplanes? If there's a small mistake in the machine, this one, the driver would take off? Huh? The pilot will drop the airplane? We can find a shop in the way we repair? Be careful. Good God. They said, and they hear the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God was looking for them now. He already knows what's going on. He wants to reach them, to confront them, also to help them, also to put for them, to check why they did it, yeah? To make a solution for them. They hide. Wisdom is hide when we sin. Why we sin? Because we don't feel God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where art thou? He's looking for him personally. That day. Where are you? God caught him. God catch us when we sin. And he said, I hear thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He was afraid to be exposed. He was naked. You want to hide from the face of God. As if God is a man cannot see. Or you have to wear eyeglass because he's in heaven. That's what the people think. They think God cannot see them when they sin, when they break the rule, when they stand there and ask, have you done this? No, 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 no. Huh? I'm a very good boy. I'm a very good girl. Verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? He told him, who told you that you are naked? Have you got the point here? So somebody tell you you are naked, yeah? And ask you, what happened to you say I'm naked? Somebody have told you, right? It means you have ears to hear it, right? The meaning of God is for it here. When you tell him, who told you that you are naked, it means to whom you have put your ears and listened and obeyed. And you get the point? Who told you? I did not say it. It means that Adam, you are listening to some other people, not me. Is that correct? Adam, to whom he listened? When he heard the voice of God? Who told him to eat? We don't know. Man or God? We discover. Why Adam ate from the fruit that he knew it is wrong. Who told you are naked? It means that I don't know, I discover you are listening to somebody else. Not my word, not what I instruct you. And then he knew what had happened. Have you eaten from the he diagnosed? I am naked. Have you eaten from the tree that I told you should not eat? Automatic, you know? Automatic. When you do wrong, automatically the consequence will come. It will home delivery. The punishment of God and discipline of God is home delivery. Not punishment, it will not go to your neighbor, it will come to you. On the right time. On the right time. God is just or no? It's very just. When we read to the end of the chapter, we understand why for simple mistake. Why they were driven out? Based on what? Why God judged them? So now we understand that the man ate. And verse 12, he asked him, have you eaten from the tree that I told you don't eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. So now he is putting the blame on the woman, and he's, have you got the point? Who gave him the fruit? The woman. And he told him, the woman gave me the fruit, the lady, the man gave me, and this woman you have put beside me. Say, it is not my fault, the fault of the woman, and it is your fault, Lord, that you put this woman beside me. Do you think he feared God? Huh? Whom he feared him? Multiple choice. Did Adam fear God? Did he fear the crocodile? Did he fear the his boss? Let us go on. So now he understood the Lord, and the Lord, verse 4:30, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? He said to the woman, what is this you have done? You don't know what you did? What the woman did? What the woman did? She entertained the thought of the devil first, okay? Second, she ate. Third, she gave to her husband to eat. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She put it on the servant, the devil. I was tempted. Now the Lord knows there is no repentance. He moved to the servant. Verse 14, he did not ask the serpent why you did like that, why you tempted the woman, because there is no recovery for Satan. His destiny is in hell, eternal fire. He put judgment, right away judgment on the serpent. But for us, still God has a mercy on us. Let us fear him. Let us repent. Let us not fear man, but fear God. Verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon the field, upon thy belly, shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That was her curse and her punishment. Besides that, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. He gives the promise that from the woman, the seed of the woman, and that is the first message of the gospel, Christ will come. He will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. Christ died on the cross for our sin. He crushed the head of the serpent. He took our sin, and today when we repent, when we repent and turn to God, we have a way to reach heaven, and that's Christ our Lord. Now he turned to the woman. Verse 16. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Let's understand this. The woman will come to give birth to have children. And she is going to be pregnant in sorrow. You know, the human, during the pregnancy and during the delivery of a human, of the woman, is the most painful than any animal over the world, because of this word of God, because of the sin of the woman. That's her punishment, because the devil told her, you will eat from this and you will be like God. Now she had to bring children with pain and sorrow. And he told her, your desire, verse 16, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now let's explain this. He told her that your desire will be to your husband, not that the woman will like the husband. It's not like this. It means that whatever you desire, you like, it has to go to your husband, whether he approved it or no. Why he say this, God? And he will rule over you. Why he say it? Why he say it? When the woman convinced by the devil and she decided to eat of the fruit, right? She knew what her husband told her or no? She knew or no? She's aware, right? When she gave it to him, what she's telling him? You will fear God or you will fear me? Because she did this, he told her, because you did this, whatever you like, I will put it that your husband will say yes or no. I'm not telling now that the husband will rule over the wife. No. But what is your sin? What the sin that you are doing because you don't fear God? God will put certain situations as near to you to make you suffer of it till you repent. Have you got the point here? You want to dictate on your husband things not in my word. And to confirm this, if we will read verse 17, we will be aware what was the sin of Adam that God judged. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Have you got the one here? When he ate, he was hearkening to whisper. You know the word hearken? Not only you listen and you run. Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and put aside my word and my voice. What the Lord told him? And hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Why he eat? Based on what we have read. Why he eat the fruit? Man, he like it? He like it? Or because of his wife? Or because of his boss? Or because of his girlfriend? Or because of his uncle? You know why he ate it? Because he was afraid from his wife. When you are afraid, I'm not speaking about husband and wife, I'm speaking about when you are afraid from man, and go against God's will and God's word, God will catch you at the gate. You know what you're doing. God will not bless people who fear men. That's why the fear of man proved to be snare. You know snare? God, you cannot take out with pain. You want to make your life better? Fear God, not fear people. And the meaning of to fear God, not to fight with people, like here the woman. She gives to the husband, she gives all what she can to let him eat. The fear of God is to follow scriptures. When he obeyed the wrong commands, God told him, in sorrow you will eat, in the troubles. Verse 18, Thomas also insisted, shall it bring forth thee? And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Before was the fruits, everything ready made, pick up fresh, now we have till the ground. That's why my advice for you, if you want to give, to live a good life, fear God. Fear Him. The fear of man is near. Don't say I'm pressurized. God knows you are pressurized. But you need to trust Him. Saul was also pressurized. He was waiting for somewhere and someone was late. He said, let me do it. And when he do it, somebody arrived. Sometimes they say that is, you know, like I need to respect my boss, love my boss, honor my boss. Love my wife, that's why, because, you know, I know wrong, you know, but, you know. You know, that's wickedness. When you know already something's wrong and you approve it. Verse 20. Let's speak now how we exercise love. How we exercise honor or respect or honor. You see, and Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. That's very good. You call her Eve, but you don't need to take the effort from her hand and eat. Honey, I love you, but I cannot do it. Boss, I respect you, but sorry, I cannot do that. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, self-control, perseverance, love, joy, but don't break the scriptures. Fear God. Now you know why they suffer? Not because they eat. Because they don't bother them, they do not fear God. The woman did not fear God, did not fear her husband who gave her the word of God. The man, that he feared his wife, he did not fear God. When it's coming to his wife, he cannot manage. When it's coming to her boss, he can't manage. When it's coming to her boyfriend, she can't say no to sin. Eve means life and living. She is the mother of life, it's correct. Yeah? Like the mother of Jesus. We cannot worship Him. He can be a good example to us. She is a God's servant, but we cannot worship her. We need to worship God and serve Him and obey Him. Verse 21, and to Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothing. God loved him. God loved us. God loved living whatever sin you are doing, hiding, whatever sin. Still God loved you. And he wants you to fear him. So you will have eternal life. He cared for them. He killed animals so that they will have coats to cover their skin instead of the fig leaves. And we get the point, sometimes God will provide for us, not because we are good. He wants to lead us to repentance. The mercies of God lead us to repentance. And verse 22, when we do wrong, consequence is coming. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become is one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. You know, when the rise of devil is that, when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we'll be like God. Okay, you are now like me, but I will not allow you to eat from the tree of life. The tree of life, they were allowed to reach and eat of it. The tree of life, what will give? Will give life, right? No. When they sin against God by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, you want to be like that? You can be. But you will not have life. You see what God decided? He will drive him out. Because they have to be differentiated, right? When they sin against God in such a way, they need to be taken out, so they must know that they will have life when they repent and come back to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what God did? Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. They were driven out, they were sent forth. That's where the judgment of God, the blessing was stopped. You want knowledge, but it's what you like. You want to sin, you get it, okay? But you will not have life. You will come to take life when you repent and have faith in the Lord Jesus and have faith in God's word and obey it. Verse 24, so he drove out the man. See here the discipline of God, the judgment of God, the consequence of the sin. God make it pass on the life of the man. He drove them out. Do you think they were happy to leave? They were happy. They were forced. Who pulled them out? God himself. God, when he judges, he will prevail. That's why in the New Testament, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will revenge. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which stand every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Before, they were with God, life, eternal. Now, no more. What was the sin of the man? No fear of God. What the title of the message? Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Let's read again. What the Lord say in Matthew 10, verse 28. You say, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's all stand. Lord, thank you for your word to us. We bless you, we magnify you, we adore you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word that teaches us to fear you. Lord, I pray for repentance. I pray for deliverance from sin, the hidden sin, stealing immoralities, lies, breaking rules, cheatings, whatever things. So God, hidden, expose it. And let people fear you again. Let them see your mighty hand, how you caught Adam and his wife in the name of Jesus. Do the same even today in the life of your church, in your life of your people. Lord, you are above all power, above all king. We thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We adore you. Lord, take the message and make it reach to those who are in need of your word. We bless you. We magnify in this name. Amen. As a protection, as a source of living, I pray, deliver us from the fear of men, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that in our hearts will let the fear of yours be more in us, transform us, and change us, O God. Lord, take the message, O God, and make it reach those who are in need of it. There'll be a fruit in the life of your church and your people. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.